Hello everyone, here is Robin Good, live from Rome, Italy, and today I'm connecting in real time with my good friend Reed Conrad. Good morning, Reed, how are you doing?
I'm well, Robin, good afternoon.
Thank you for keeping an eye on my time zone. It is afternoon here in Rome, Italy, but what time is it over there and where you are? And where are you?
Robin, I'm in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, just outside Research Triangle Park, and it's about 10:15.
And Reed Conrad is the man behind NearTime, a tool, a technology, a service, a software that you may not have heard about before, but at which Reed and his team has been working for a long time. I've met Reed about less than a year ago here in Rome for a wonderful dinner outside on a nice trattoria nearby my office, and we long discussed the initial step of this tool that today has finally the appearance of something quite unique and interesting. So I don't want to take it too much away from Reed. Why don't you give me a brief introduction for those people that don't know you and don't ever heard before of NearTime?
Thank you, Robin, and indeed that was a fabulous evening in Rome, and look forward to seeing you again hopefully soon. NearTime has been working in the collaboration space now for a couple of years. Our initial platform was in the Mac OS X environment, and since over that time period, based upon our experience there, we've made the transition into a platform that is supports collaboration on all environments. It's web-based, it's hosted, so there's zero installation, and it's based upon emerging web standards and takes advantage of many of the core components driving the new web.
Great. For what I can recall of the original NearTime, which I tested many months ago on the Mac OS X, it was essentially a tool geared toward much of what I was still developing in my head under the concept of news mastering. At least I wanted to see that, although maybe Reed and his team were coming from different directions. But to make the long story short, NearTime offered, in my eyes at the time, the ability to collect information. I was working on myself, I was producing myself, I was finding on the web and putting it together in certain kind of folders. They had some unique name, and to be able then to store and republish this information in flexible ways, supporting RSS and so on. So that's the memory, the original memory of NearTime. Is that the same picture you have of that old NearTime? And what is the present picture? That is, in what area of online collaboration NearTime is trying to establish itself?
Robin, you're right on with regard to where we started, and at this stage or during the transition with our users, some of the web technologies have matured in such a way to give us a better platform and provide greater capabilities for users to interact, integrate, and interoperate amongst themselves, but also with the web itself, that their collaborative relationships can be private and public in a concurrent manner. They can bring in web information and make that part of their collaborative experience. NearTime has built upon the web standards with platforms such as weblogs, wikis. We bring in group calendaring and scheduling as part of that. And it's built on a rich context layer so that group discovery of what's going on, what people are working on, is all available and can be made available privately or publicly very easily, very quickly. Our drive is to allow users or enable users to get into the this accelerating mode of information management, of collaboration, on an ongoing basis, not you know, some present model where let's do something and get started and now it becomes static. We see the collaborative exercise, we see the social aspects of computing as being a real continuum. On top of that, we're building upon existing technologies such that we coexist well with email, that some of these you know, well established platforms that have been around for years can coexist. That said, many of these platforms are not well suited for this form of accelerated information management and collaboration.
Excellent. And for those of you really scratching their head and wondering what type of tool New York Times is providing out there, well, there is nothing better than going out to neartime.com, www.near-time.com, and signing up to try it out. Because what would you see is, in fact, something quite interesting. In my own simple words, I would describe it as a team supporting space online in which you can have basically the essence of a wiki or blog wiki tool in which you can create new pages, new content with images, text, formatting, all you want very easily, in which you have a shared calendar, in which you have a contact list of members of which you see profiles, their activities, their picture, and so on, and in which then you can easily search and interoperate with the others because you're all in touch through the same web-based space. So for those who really have not much of experience with these advanced technologies, maybe a Yahoo group or something of that nature will give them a better idea of what I'm referring to, a space online where you can associate a certain project and a number of people and get all of the material, exchanges, communication, and content relevant to that project and group of people to be in one common space that can be easily accessed, updated, and from which you can retrieve information fast. That's what I see now. Tell me how close I am portraying my early new review, my early sensations on the new near time, all web-based.
Robin, you're right on track, and I think from a user perspective, I think if they step back and think about how much they use email as an example for collaboration, it's a very large portion of many corporations, people, companies, how they interoperate, how they collaborate. If you take that out, you can do all of that within near time from a collaborative standpoint. Email certainly is great for point-to-point messages, but it's not ideal for ongoing interaction, ongoing iterations of content. We started using near time internally early last fall, and in that time period, our email-based utilization dropped about two-thirds. And instead, now we have this captured knowledge base that is unstructured but is available to us for reuse, repurposement via context filters, via intelligent search facilities that, you know, frankly, email doesn't do well. If you think about collaboration itself, the more interactive and more iterations that are driven for collaboration, the email model really breaks down quite quickly.
Indeed it does. And the new New York Times web-based space does again support fully syndication of news and content produced and input into this groupware space, both via RSS as well as by Atom type of feeds. You can subscribe, therefore, also via email, via either directly via an RSS to email converter, to any new postings that happen there. You can make email contributions directly to the near time space by sending to specific addresses connected to specific pages or spaces. And so it makes working together apparently quite interesting. What are some of the unique features of your web-based collaboration space that you may want to point my attention to?
Really, Robin, I would break them into three core categories. The first is an interactive platform, and in this model, we provide users both a private form of collaboration, but also a public form for collaboration. Second, within interaction, everyone's welcome. You know, you can have any email address, you can have a .msn email account or a Gmail account, you could have your corporate account. A diversity of people can come together within near time, easily, automatically. The implementation path, we've just started making near time available. About 2 weeks ago, we have a few hundred organizations already working within near time to collaborate with each other, both, I should say, internally, but also externally. In the case of the public use of near time, we actually use near time as our public engine for engaging ourselves with the web itself. Second area involves integration. Okay, and in this case, we've brought together weblogs, wikis, and calendaring in a single interface. By bringing those together, we can build off of a shared context model that, again, makes it easy to find information. I may be working on a project, you may be working on a related project, I may not know about it, but I can use the filtering facilities so that we both understand what's going on as trusted parties. We find that really helps with regard to building or accelerating the iteration cycles, remixing the content. In web speak, we use both categories and tags. It provides the facility for users to create both, let's say, topical-based information, but also process-based information around their content. An example would be perhaps we would have a category on collaborative trends or collaboration key ideas. We might also, though, have tags that would be identified as draft or important. I can use our search facilities to create automatically views of what's going on based upon the operations, based upon what you feel is important or what I feel is the contextual relevance of that information. I can also save that. So on a recurring basis, I can go back and at a glance go, okay, what does Robin see that's important? What is in Robin's area that's draft? I'd like Robin to see what I'm working on based upon this point of relevance. We can see that together. You can also syndicate to that. So as I post or make something newly available that's important, you can jump in. And you can see automatically via feeds, to any computing device, and see what's happening with my work and engage yourself automatically.
And what is your business model on this, Reed?
Well, within this, it's not just what we do, it's how we do it. And our sense in developing near time over this period of time was we wanted to make sure that it was approachable. Okay, and within that, we'll be offering Near Time's entry-level plan as a free service. Okay, the service will give users complete capabilities for private and public weblogs, wikis, and group calendaring. We're very excited by that implementation. Commercial plans will start at $49.95 per year or $4.95 US a month. And then move up depending upon user needs or requirements as they go forward. The commercial plan is based upon the ability to attach and share file content, application files, etc.
Yeah, please dwell a little more on those aspects of the premium service, and kudos for driving the new way of the web, which is to provide a free service that provides good benefit as the opening offer, and then maintain it through some premium extra services. So I'm all in favor for what you're doing. I think it's the right way to go. But tell us more about what's in for those who are going to be liking it very much, and or what are going to be the limitations that some people will want to pay to go beyond.
Well, Robin, you know, when we last met in Rome, you were pointing out the importance of the economy of software and making sure that everybody can participate. There's no reason why, you know, the price points of the past should be carried forward. The fact is, the new internet is driven by democratic accessibility, that everybody can participate, everybody can get engaged and share their ideas. If we start putting prices in, we reduce the ability for participation. We would like all organizations to jump in and become engaged. The commercial plans are based upon the storing of group files, any type of attachments. You could imagine, PDFs, graphic files, Microsoft Office documents, spreadsheets, things like that. The commercial plans will also provide security facilities for encrypting and authenticating the information. We also think, by the way, at $4.95 a month for this level of service that we're providing, it's a great commercial offering.
It is indeed, absolutely. Sorry if I made you feel bad about this, but I wasn't clear. I really think that you have a great offering, even for the premium payers. Absolutely, $4.95 a month, $49 a year. It's a difficult price to beat, and I see no ads flying by. There are no things popping up. I don't see no naked girls around. So it looks pretty clean, easily accessible, well-designed, and simple. How much customization and branding can I do to it?
You have quite a bit of flexibility, actually. You can add logos to a near-time space. But you can also use your own style sheet and customize the environment as you'd like from a look and feel standpoint. We also provide support for domain mapping. So if you'd like to bring this into your environment, great. You know, that's powerful. I should also say that as users get started, they can create as many spaces as they would like. They can invite as many people as they'd like. People that join their spaces can create their own spaces. So we've worked very hard on the architecture to make sure that the accessibility, as people get started, can grow, that they can create their own environments. They can put their own look and feel in their environments as they put their own communities together, whether that's professionally or for personal reasons.
Fantastic, but let me get the point straight. You said that people who are invited as part of a group, let's say that I sign up and I am a premium user and I can upload my attachments and everything, and I invite a number of people. These people, in turn, can themselves create as many spaces they want, and only at the time they would want to themselves upload to their own spaces some files or attachments, then they would have to go to premium services, but otherwise they would be running for free the service just like I do.
Exactly.
Great. And so my last point just flew out of my head right now. There was something hanging there, but your reply was so fast that it zapped it out. Oh, yes. Relating to the files and attachments, are you going to provide a separate storage area in which I can upload them and organize them, or will I use part of the wiki facility to do that? How is that enabled?
We will provide the storage for users to upload and share. You can, as you pointed out, your near-time content can be shared or be made available through RSS or Atom. What is exciting about the use of these standards that we've been working with and on for many years is that as files go up, I can see what's in maybe through automated search or through RSS feeds I've set up. I can receive not just the content that you've authored within near time, but I can also receive the files, which provides a great point of keeping the team on the same file version. One of the huge challenges of collaborating via email is which files which, what's the latest up-to-date version. By using the ability to attach those files, keep them on near time, and then using things like RSS, we can get them back down to the desktop for the group and keep everybody up to date on what's the latest and greatest.
Oh, that's great. I haven't seen Yahoo groups do that yet, but it seems like the most obvious idea they should have had a long time ago. That is, you subscribe to a team or to a project, and in the subscription, you not only get the exchanges and the discussions, you also get the files that are posted there. Super, super. Thumbs up from Roma. And I guess I have really a full basket here, and I only want to play and use it more. And so I invite everyone else out there to go out indeed and try out Near Time again at www.near-time.com. And Reed, for me, Robin Good in Rome, Italy, it is all for today. Really, you give me lots of interesting information. I leave it to you, though, for the closing remarks, special offers, and anything you want to say to conclude this very interesting conversation we've had today. Thank you again for your time, and I leave it to you for closing. Ciao.
You've been fabulous in helping to shape our direction, and really what we see is a strategic move with regard to the next stage of collaboration and really taking advantage of the web and making it available to everybody. So thank you, and look forward to seeing you soon.